A week ago, we considered how there is a contrast when it comes to elders and others in the books of Timothy and Titus. On the one hand, we have some information about men who might serve as elders. On the other hand, we have some people who are evil people, wicked people, apostates, men who would be completely unqualified to serve as elders. What we heard Michael just read, especially the first couple of verses, begins, I think, to set up the contrast. Elders are people who have that desire to serve God. Now, that should be true of all righteous people. On the other hand, the contrast is, in the books of Timothy and Titus, people who are worthless for any good work. They don't have any desire for God. Another contrast is seen in reproach. Elders are to be blameless, not perfect people. But in contrast to the people who are worthless to any good work, you see the contrast there as well. We also find that as we look at the ungodly people, it seems from the study last week that they had the wrong ideas about marriage. It seems that there were apostates who were at least tempted astray to go into the houses of silly women laden with sin and perhaps to seduce them. The contrast to that would be an elder who is committed to his wife. But that's often not where the qualification is looked at as far as the discussion about it. True elder, and certainly a true Christian, is someone who's interested in self-control. But Paul, as he talks about the apostates in Timothy and Titus, refers to others severely lacking in this kind of quality. Elders and all faithful Christians should be interested in hospitality. And that seems to be in contrast to what we find elsewhere in Timothy and Titus. There were some people who were upsetting. They were destroying whole households. They were not hospitable people in a good sense. Elders are also, and this is where we begin with new material this morning. If you're looking at the sheet, we're going to be drawing from that far column on the right again. You'll see there's some information about being apt to teach. When it comes to a congregation either establishing a new eldership or perhaps adding elders to an existing eldership, often this quality, being apt to teach, generates a lot of discussion. It's not been uncommon some congregations to say, well, okay, this man is being considered for a possible elder, and he's never taught a Bible class. We wonder then, is he apt to teach? Well, we have to ask the question, was Paul thinking about a man teaching a Bible class once or twice a week or at some point in his Christian life? Was that what he had in mind when he penned this quality? In most congregations today, you'll find probably at least one Bible class, maybe two, possibly more per week. But do we read about a weekly Bible class in Scripture? Well, not really. Apt means that a man has some skill. It means that he has some ability when it comes to teaching. How that skill is used, when that skill is used, where that skill is used, those are items that we sometimes fill in the blank for, but those things have not been specified by Scripture. It is possible for a Christian man, or we might say a woman, to be a very skilled teacher, but he or she has never taught in a Bible class classroom, quote unquote. Last week it was pointed out how the qualities associated with elders, again and again as you look through Titus, they do have a negative counterpart somewhere else in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Titus. And as you look at the far right column, we can make a contrast here when it comes to someone being apt to teach. When we think about teaching, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 talks about teachers. But it says these teachers were teaching a different doctrine. As you move down a little bit, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. People were not only teaching a different doctrine, the Bible says that this different doctrine was being taught out of ignorance. And if you skip over about three chapters, you find in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, some information about demonic doctrine. Based on the other references in these books, it seems to me that when we talk about someone being apt to teach, whether that is an elder or a potential elder or someone else, a big part of that, a big chunk of apt to teach is teaching the truth. Sometimes we may have in our minds, for whatever reason, and this could be in the church, it could be related to the world, but it could be that in our mind, every teacher, every preacher is to be absolutely fabulous. We might think, we might have an expectation that every teacher is going to be the best of the best. Now, it would be great if it were true that in our world, most of the people who teach, the majority of teachers, were so gifted, so swell, that teachers were able to present information where students hung on just about every word. But you know the truth of it is that most of the teachers that we have in the world, in the church, are going to be average teachers. Most of the preachers that we have are going to be average preachers. I've heard some exceptional preachers in my time. There are some top-notch preachers today, 5-star plus. But generally, that's not what you find as you listen to preacher after preacher. There's some preachers who are exceptional. There's some preachers who barely seem to get by. They barely seem to eke out a sermon. But most guys are average. And that's true in just about every other profession. Whatever profession that we can point at, if you're a plumber, if you are a garbage collector, most people have enough skills to get the job done. But you usually don't have, unless it's maybe something in the technical realm, maybe with computers, where a very specialized profession requires the best of the best, but it's just like soldiers. If you have 100,000 soldiers, not everybody's going to be the cream of the crop. Generally, those people are going to be average, dedicated, committed soldiers, but you're going to have a few who are exceptional. Thus, when we think about an elder being apt to teach, it does not mean that he is the best teacher we've ever heard. It does not mean that he's going to be a mesmerizing teacher. But it does mean here's a man who is willing. He has at least some abilities to stand up and teach, and he's probably going to be typically an average teacher, and that's just fine. Apt to teach suggests that here is a man who is willing to teach with some skill, likely in an average way, but he's going to be focused on teaching the truth. The next contrast that we see as we look at elders in Timothy and Titus, 1 Timothy 3:3, and also in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 7. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, the American Standard says, an elder is to be someone who is not a brawler. Neither is someone who is going to serve as an elder to be a striker. An elder is to be someone who is gentle. An elder is to be someone who is not self-willed. Now, these qualities should be consistent with the life of every single Christian, not just an elder. And this is true for most of the information that we have when it comes to Timothy and Titus. We have faithful Christians, qualities associated with faithful brethren, in contrast to those who are not faithful, the apostates. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to look at this verse twice today, but here Paul says, describing some of the apostates, he says, without natural affection, they're implacable. He says they're slanderers, they're without self-control, they're fierce, and at the end of the verse he says they do not love good things. Well, here we find a lack of self-control associated with the ungodly, the apostates. Most of us at one time or another have witnessed someone who lacked, who did not have self-control. When a person lacks self-control, some really bad things can happen. If Christianity did not speak about self-control, this still would be a great quality for people to have. Sometimes, though, we look at elders in a way where we put them into a category where they're just sort of out there, distinct, separate from the rest of us. It's not uncommon to find Christians who, as they look at elders, they hold them to a higher standard. But you know, as you look at the Bible, I don't find that there is one standard for the average Christian and the preacher. One standard for the average Christian and the Bible class teacher. One standard for the elder, and another standard for everybody else. Now, there are some distinctive qualities when it comes to serving as an elder. But you know, when we read about the bulk of the qualities, getting aside from the family qualities, and getting aside from the fact that an elder is not to be a novice, virtually every other quality should describe a Christian. The basic qualities concerning an elder should be true for every individual. And that's what we begin to see. Shouldn't every Christian be apt to teach? Have some ability to instruct others in the truth? Yes. Shouldn't it be true that every other Christian is no brawler, no striker, someone who is interested in self-control, a person who is gentle? Yes, 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 and yes. Another way to demonstrate this point is found in the next item on our sheet, still staying with the far right column. Paul was aware of some people who were involved with strife as far as their teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 is listed on your sheet, I believe, and here is what that passage says. I'm going to read it now. He says there, but foolish and ignorant questions refuse, knowing that they gender strifes. We have a similar statement in Titus, Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Unless there is a matter involving doctrine, the Bible teaches that Christians are not to be contentious. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Now that quality is specifically associated with elders. But in principle, it should apply to everyone who has named the name of Christ. Virtually every Christian should demonstrate this and the other basic qualities associated with elders. I thought, as I was preparing this information, I thought, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 7, and let's extract the idea of an elder there. Let's just try to apply the qualities, the basic qualities, to every Christian. And if you were to revise that to reflect this, you'd come up with something like this. Faithful is the same. If a Christian desires to serve in some way, he desires a good work. To serve as a Christian, a man or a woman must be without reproach. The Christian must be temperate, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitality, apt to teach. No brawler, no striker, but gentle, not contentious. No lover of money. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a Christian knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he be able to take care of the house of God? Not a novice, lest he be puffed up and fall under the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have good testimony from them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Elders are to be like committed Christians, with a couple of exceptions. They're not novices in the faith, and we find that they are to be the spiritual leaders in their home. When it comes to their qualifications, we do not want to minimize what the Bible says about elders. We also, at the same time, do not want to make more out of the qualifications that we find in scriptures. In some congregations, as we look at churches, it's almost impossible for some to meet the expectations that members have when it comes to being an elder. That's a sad thing. There have been brethren who have raised the bar so high. If Jesus had been married and had kids, I'm pretty sure that some brethren would say, "Well, Lord, you're not qualified." That can't be right. I know that can't be right because of Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus was told to appoint elders in every city. Now, I don't know how many cities there were that had the potential for elders, but Paul seemed to believe, he was under the impression that every single city in Crete, every congregation that was there, it was possible to have elders. Now, by implication, that tells me that this is not an insurmountable task to get elders appointed. Every single Christian, male, female, young, old, married, single, should be able to demonstrate the qualities that we're talking about. In the reading of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, we come across another quality, which applies to elders. Ye have it expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as covetousness, loving money. Titus expresses it in a slightly different way, that is, filthy lucre. The Bible has a lot to say about money. Part of what the Scripture has to say about money involves how to handle it, as well as our attitude towards it. God has said that elders need to have the right mindset when it comes to money if they're going to watch over God's flock. Now suppose that we were in a Bible class and this quality came up and someone asked this question. Well, I know the Bible says that elders are not to be greedy people, but I am not an elder. Maybe I'm a lady and I'm never going to serve as an elder because I'm of the wrong gender. Or there's this or there's that in my life. And because I'm not an elder, well, greediness is just fine for me, isn't it, teacher? Well, how would we answer that question? The answer to that question should be obvious. If the question were asked, an apt-to-teach instructor would share this information. Covetousness, greediness, that worldly desire for more and more is wrong for all people. Yes, it's true that elders need to be free of that sin, but such is true for everybody else. It needs to be pointed out that as we look at this qualification, it's just like the others that we find, that it, in some respects, stands in contrast to the kinds of people that Paul was familiar with and dealing with in his day and time. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Once again, he talks about the evil people, and here's a description. He says, wranglings of men, corrupted in mind. He says, they're bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. In the past, Paul was familiar with people who tried to use religion for money. Well, men have not changed very much. Religion is still being used as a tool to make money. You watch a TV show about religion, send me your check, sow your seed. We've all heard those kinds of things. Listen to the radio, look at some of the publications that are mailed out. The internet is full of that kind of stuff. Elders, but it's not just them. Every single Christian should be someone who stands in contrast to the unsaved if they profess the name of Christ. On the far left side of your sheet, moving over to the other side for just a minute, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. There it talks about elders being people who will rule well their own houses. Well, that quality is true for elders. But isn't ruling well your own house an obligation of every single Christian? Yes! That's not something just for man who's going to serve as an elder. This should be a fundamental quality for every person in his or her home. Now, it may be true that an elder has more experience in this area, and we would hope that's the case. Paul says, not a novice. But it is possible, it's right for every single Christian to rule well his or own home. Well, this behavior stands in contrast to some of the items that we see in Timothy and Titus. Paul talks about that far right column. He talks about some people who were involved with disrespect. They didn't respect their parents. Well, that's a problem. They had some family issues. Families were being poorly led. And even now we find at the head of some dysfunctional homes a father who has abdicated. He's failed to fulfill his fatherly responsibilities. An elder, and we would say a faithful Christian, is not going to be someone who's a deadbeat dad. A faithful Christian is not going to be a terrible mom. He or she is not going to be a terrible parent. You're not going to have a terrible mother. The contrast between men who may serve as an elder and the opposite of that is again and again in the books of Timothy and Titus. Among the unsaved, we find those who are reprobate. Same problem today. Right below this, we have some information about people who were being turned over to the devil. Why? Why would Paul say that there's some people who are being turned over to Satan? The answer for that is that they were following the devil's teaching. Well, the opposite of that behavior is at the far left column of our sheet. When a person becomes a Christian, he or she is likely a novice. Now, there have been some cases where people have been converted, and before their conversion, they learned and they heard and they've got a lot of Bible knowledge. But generally, when a person becomes a Christian, he or she is still a babe in Christ. And as the years go by, the person has that desire to grow, to mature, to become a stronger and more effective Christian. They move from that immature state into a state which is spiritually mature. And as they grow, they begin to learn how to grow out of the devil's snares. And they don't always succeed, but they do get better as far as trying to avoid the traps that Satan sets before people. And that's in contrast to the apostates. And that should not be true just for the elders, but it should be true for every single Christian. We should have that desire to grow and go. When we look at the qualities of elders, we do not find, as some seem to think, some super Christian characteristics. What we do find are men who have made the desire that had the desire, like we looked at in this morning's Bible class, lads to leaders, for many years, maybe at the age of 4, 5, or 6, they decided that they were going to serve God to the best of their ability. And as the years progressed, as they grew more and more in the faith, one day they decided to become a Bible class teacher. One day maybe they decided to become a deacon. They were asked to serve in that way. Maybe they became a preacher. Maybe they became an elder. Maybe they became the leader of a Bible study group in the place where they work. They decided but they were going to serve God to the very best of their ability. There are men who, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 3 and 4 and verse 19, they refuse to teach a different faith. That should be true for every single one of us. But it also needs to be true for those who serve as elders. The men who serve as elders and every other Christian, they need to have a conscience which is tender, instead of the searing, defiled conscience that we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and Titus chapter 1, verse 15. The apostates that Paul described, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, he said they had minds which were spiritually corrupted. We don't want that in an elder. We can't have that in an elder if he's going to serve correctly. And we can't have that mindset in any other Christian. Elders know the danger of a shipwrecked faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. And they don't want to have that kind of faith. They don't want the flock where they labor to have that kind of faith. So that elder says, I'm going to hold that faith in the right way. And I'm going to encourage others to do the same kind of thing. The men, in contrast to the kinds of people Paul described, are people who love good. And they're the exact opposite of that verse we said we were going to read just again a little later, twice today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Once again, Paul says there are some people, they lack natural affection. They're implacable. They're slanderous. They are people who lack self-control, they're fierce, they do not love good. He went on to say in verse 4, the traitors, and some other things. Unlike the unsaved, the faithful Christian, and certainly the one who's serving as an elder, has the right perspective on pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Some congregations do not have elders now. They've not had elders in the past. And they're likely not going to have elders any time in the near future because they have imposed a standard which is higher than God's standard. We, as we think about elders, as we study about elders, need to see from the text that being an elder, it is not a rare achievement. This is not something that God hoped would be limited to just a few men. Every male, as he or she lives his life, should be striving to live the best kind of Christian life he or she can. That should be true for every lady. It should be true for all of our young people. Every Christian today should be living the basic kind of life that we find, 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. It's that simple. Is that the kind of life that we're trying to live? As we look through those qualities, aside from what's said about being married, aside from what's being said about having children, and aside from the word novice, unless you've been a Christian for a while, Each of those qualities can be applied to us. Are we living by them? Are we living by them? And are we doing that every single day? If we've never become a Christian, the answer is no. But today we can change that. We can become a Christian and start living by the kinds of things that we discussed this morning. Faith is the beginning point. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, we're going to be condemned. Hebrews 11:6, Mark 16:16. But with that belief, it's not faith only. With that belief, there is the need to change the life, to make a 180-degree turn. And the Bible describes that. It sums it up with the word repentance. So with that faith, the Bible says, if we don't repent, we're going to perish. Luke 13:3. Someone says, well, I believe and I want to turn my life around good. Who are you going to turn to? Well, I'm going to confess Christ as the Son of God. That's a great thing. But how are you going to be joined to Christ? How are you going to become connected to Christ? How are you going to become a Christian? The Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Until we take that final step, we're not in Christ. And even if we live a life which is full of good works, we don't do bad things, and maybe we emulate many of the qualities in the Bible, we are not yet a child of God if we take that last step. Someone says, well, I have believed, I've repented, I've confessed Christ, I've been baptized into Christ, I'm good to go. Well, maybe. We're not good to go as far as spending eternity with God unless we're willing to commit to living the Christian life. Are we trying to live the life which is associated with the life of an elder? 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. If the answer to that question is no, something is wrong. Something's amiss. And this morning, if we can help you get back on the right road or start on the right road, we let us know how we can aid you to become a Christian, to strengthen you as a Christian, to restore you as a Christian, or something else. Make that decision now. Make it, please, public, if that's appropriate, as we stand and sing the selected song.